Before tonight's entertainment commences, we have a party political broadcast on behalf of the Fife Club Party. Has the general election got you down? Are you bored of your current political offerings? Is everything just a bit shit? Do you hold bizarre views about much-beloved 90s television presenters? Do you maybe even hate Phil Collins? Then vote Fife Club on June 8th. Fife Club, for everything to be a bit less shit and for everyone to get a free boost. No, really, we'll actually just envelop you into our own little world of pitch darkness, an unrelenting plunge into the bleak, uncaring void. You'd probably be better putting a gun to your head and getting it all over with now. Seriously though, chums, if you want to spoil your ballot and write Fife Club, we'd be humbled and delighted, but we actually care about the democratic process. Happy voting.
Come on into the podcast for every man stroke person, Fife Club. The first rule of Fife Club.
Kurt's trying to wrestle, making a claim for the misogyny belt. He's got a steel chair.
You very definitely have it from me now. I was the intercontinental champion of misogyny for the first couple of episodes,
He's got my leg up in the air. Ref said one, two, let's see if he can get to three.
But then it brought back the person.
Okay.
Saved it. So, yeah. Great. Introduction ruined in 5 seconds.
Come on, Kutch, get on with it.
So, yeah. Welcome to Fife Club. The first rule of Fife Club is please talk about Fife Club. And at the very least, if you could, give us a review on iTunes. That'd be bra.
That would be really bra, because that would mean eventually we could get paid adverts. And like, honestly, we all just want to give up our jobs already. Right? Yeah. I'm joking. Mine is wonderful.
And ride that money train on the back of you guys. Yeah. All 12 of you. Yeah.
I think actually technically it's 7 since I started offering that free prize of a all expenses paid date with Jamie. Oh, I think our Facebook likes have actually declined.
Wow. So, as you heard in our little advert at the start there as well, you could spoil your ballot paper and vote for Fife Club tomorrow. Hold on. Is that today? No. Yesterday. Wait.
Is it Friday?
I actually don't know where we are in this podcast anymore. So whenever you're listening to this, if this turned can spoil your ballot.
This has turned into the Fife version of Jumanji. What day is this?
I'm really confused. This is Friday. Yeah, it's Friday. It's not Wednesday. Honest, guys, it's Friday. I think.
So that result, lads.
Although I think I'm going to put this out tomorrow on Thursday. Yeah, so this is all interesting. Basically, we're going to do an election special, and I don't really know when this is going out, so everything that we're about to say might actually be nonsense.
To be honest, if you listen to the pundits, pretty much everything.
We could be part of the official posters.
it's almost like a Christmas episode, but it doesn't get played at Christmas. It gets played at like New Year's Eve.
Same idea. We're also going to do a summer holiday episode.
Cliff's not invited.
Yeah, no, he's really not.
It's all alleged. In fact, not proven. In fact, has he not sued folk for it?
He's come to a settlement, I believe.
Never mind. So, around the mic with me tonight is Big Ben's cousin, mediocre Jamie.
Hello.
It's Jamie. And as old as Father Thames himself, it's Mark.
That'd be me. Thames. Thames, you dick.
Thames, whatever.
Yeah. No, I am old, actually.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're a little bit older this week, yeah.
I know. I'm 34.
Fucking wow. Hell. I could not imagine being that age. It's just so far away from me.
As I said on your Facebook, I totally remembered it was your birthday when I saw you the night before and asked you to contribute to Kutch's birthday present.
It's all right.
In a bit of sad news, our co-host, Beatty, has decided that he needs to spend more time on his Wicker Man part 2. And he's no longer going to be a regular host. He will be back, though, to guest every now and then. So, you know.
I think we look forward to doing a video with BT as well.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we're all very much looking forward to.
So, yeah, we'll do we'll do something and hopefully, yeah, get him involved in a few things down the road. But yeah, for the time being, he's tapping out.
It's actually almost like a political thing where he's had to go and spend more time with his family, which is actually which means he's set up a rival podcast. He utterly hates us.
I was expecting a scandal, Clinton, you know.
Don't talk about it, James.
But
he's always anyway. So close to Ben.
What it does bring me to is the barely cold seat that he has vacated. What we are going to do is enact protocol Angus Dayton and do what any good panel show has done before us and have a rotating guest every week. It's going to be all voices you've heard before with Mags, Dave and your first regular rotating host, the man the ladies call Nelson's Column. Maybe? It's James.
Hello. Never called that before.
Rotating, he spins me right around.
Oh, God. He's a spin.
He's a cellist as well.
That's what I hear.
Learn something new every week I come on. Thanks for having me.
That's all right.
Let me on. I'm glad to be the first rotating fourth of this new system.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming along and taking part.
Yeah, I have to stress, like, this would probably have been a Mags episode, so like, don't expect political commentary on the level of Mags. It's pretty much like the everyman who probably doesn't know that much. Most of my research for this episode has been 2 weeks worth of news quiz on Radio 4, so you know.
I'll probably do you.
That sounds frighteningly comprehensive.
It's pretty much like listening to the Bugle every week as well. That kind of is where I get most of my current affairs news these days.
So if you do listen to a news quiz, maybe expect a couple of jokes next here and there.
Yes! He's got the Fife Club attitude. Just steal from other podcasts.
So it's actually nice to meet you in person, Susan Coleman. I hadn't realised how senior figure your father was, actually. Famously of the Coleman Review, wasn't he?
Oh, really?
Yeah, Susan Coleman's father was it Kenneth Coleman?
Oh, was it? Really? Fucking hell. Yeah. And also, speaking of Angus Dean,
prostitutes.
Well, slash B. No, that's for scandal.
It's not the rumour. I'm honest.
No, there's an economist called Angus Deaton. I think he won a Nobel Prize. I just came across him today by chance.
Wow. Was that by looking up Angus Deaton?
No. It was
while he was looking up for Aberdeen Angus Deaton.
That's entirely correct.
I'm more of a mutton Melissa myself, actually, in fairness.
Oh, well, back to the bestiality.
I look like a Highland cow, I go for the Highland.
You certainly got the horn. Awful. I'm sorry about that. I just feel like a word.
I did ask Mags last time she was on as a returning guest. How does it feel to be back?
It's great. You feel very welcome. I feel a bit more confident this time. I think the first one I done, I was a bit like, I'm just waiting until the right turn comes and we can do a key to near. But I feel a bit more comfortable.
Yeah, we also kind of like fired you in with the darkest episode we've done.
Like, I don't know if that was the most successful guest episode, but I was still pretty chuffed for myself.
I think it was pretty good. In fact, there's a thing that we've not talked about. You were our most downloaded guest.
As I were.
Yeah. No, you still are.
Oh, yeah, that's right then.
93 downloads, I think.
I'm taking that.
Mags tried, but
you're just like, more popular than Mags.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, Mags' episodes are really good and really interesting, but I'm a vicious competitor. I don't care if it's fucking rock, paper, scissors. I want to win. I will win.
I've just spotted a major problem. 93 is, like less than half of what Mags got for a vote, so the Fight Club party is going to be fucked.
Yeah.
She's definitely our best candidate.
She's the forefront politically.
She's a face.
It's fine. We've actually got enough people to do it. Like, Kutch can do all the producing and all that kind of side of things for Maxie's career. I can spin for her. You can do policy. James, you can play nice intro music on your cello.
I can also do good voiceover work if you're ever looking.
Get a good plug in. I like it.
Vote Wise. Vote Fife Club. Vote Max. I see. Now I understand why he was so keen to come on to get out to those 98 listeners.
One of them might need voiceover work at some point.
I have to shell.
That's 98K listeners, obviously.
Oh, you know. Yeah, sure.
Totally.
Yeah. That's why we're making, you know, $5,000 a pop. You know,
yeah, I'm quite literally sitting doing this podcast in a Hawaiian shirt on a pile of cash.
I'm swimming in my Scrooge McDuck style money vault.
Is it possible?
I like returning gags. That really rewards the keen listener.
Speaking of returning gags, mm-hmm. Andrew Carnegie, a joke of a man. I went to the Carnegie Library the other day for the first time since it reopened.
Uh-huh.
Museum bit. And I don't think I saw a single thing about Andrew Carnegie.
No. There is, but there's not a lot.
Yeah. I went through a whole museum and I don't remember seeing anything about Andrew
Although,
Carnegie.
Although, can I just say, those fuckers at the museum. The new Dunfermline Museum has opened up. It's next to the Dunfermline Library. It's actually really quite good.
It's
a really nice space.
It's really well done. Yeah, it's modern.
It's really cool. However, the fuckers have stole our Fife Club, our Fife Hall of Fame idea.
What?
Yeah, they've got a whole wall with famous Dunfermliners and Fifers.
But I think this is a good case to try and get a lawyer in on this. They've got a lawyer, listen in.
Never mind that, guys. What we will do is we'll eventually, once you start helping us with the iTunes things and we get the money in, we'll make little stickers of Fife Club and put them up on the wall. Bit of guerrilla marketing.
Right over the top of the Fife Club Hall of Fame.
Also, to come back on Jamie's point, what you're not realising is the new museum, you can't have spoilers for the Carnegie Birthplace Museum.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you want to undercut them? Poor people in the Birthplace Museum.
That is actually
sitting there in desperate poverty.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, right. Totally. Yeah.
Also, they had a lot about, like, you know, mining and, the linen trade and everything as well. But they didn't have anything, I might have missed this again, but they didn't have anything about the dockyard.
Did they?
Yeah, I must have missed that.
There was a big chunk about Rosyth.
Because I saw a little bit about Rosyth, and it was like, oh,
it was all about how it brought in like lots of people from all over the country and all over the world.
I must have missed that bit as well. Because I remember thinking
some folk ended up staying, and that's why there's a mix of names and stuff.
One of the theories of why the Pars are called the Pars.
Yeah,
the Plymouth Argyll Rosyth supporters.
Yeah.
Ah, I did not know that. That's really interesting.
There's connections between my family and Plymouth as well, so who are from this area, so it's kind of semi-plausible as well.
Similarly, I feel a strong connection to Plymouth as well, due to all the gin that I drink.
I mean, I don't know how it was for you guys in the town, but...
it was good, Kutch, you were fine. Honestly, you were definitely average.
Right, let me finish my sentence, you dick. But growing up in Rosyth, going to Kings Road Primary, we had a continual change in roll call of faces that were from Plymouth, from Helensburgh, from Portsmouth, from all over, basically, from all of the bases, because they would come up and they would be here for a year or two and then go away. Some of them would come and stay. So it was like people that were working in the dockyard, people who had families in like Navy and stuff like that as well.
Forces kids always have weird accents as well.
Yeah, they do. Like, yeah. It's sort of the thing where I've talked about this before, where some people that I know, other friends and stuff, who find English accents quite jarring, but it's only because they're not as used to them, like from TV and stuff, but not used to them sort of like live and in front of their face all the time. And it doesn't jar with me all that much because of there just being a continual stream of English accents throughout the school.
Back to the point about the Dunfermline Museum, though, having a section in Rosyth. Mm-hmm. I mean, on Rosyth, let's face it, Rosyth's not in Dunfermline. And because you're from Took originally, but now reside in Rosyth, Beaker's from Rosyth, should we be more ashamed of Rosyth?
Hang on, you're from Took originally.
Yeah, you know this.
Pretty sure I don't,
mate. No, you do.
Why did you go to King's Road if you're from Took?
So, I was born.
Yeah.
Well, I was born in Dunfermline.
Everybody was
maternity.
Born.
Yeah. I was born once in Dunfermline maternity, but my parents stayed in Took for the first 3 years of my life.
I did not know that.
I went to...
Did you go to Touch Nursery?
I went to Touch Nursery. And halfway through, we moved to Rosyth and I went to Camdean. And then
aren't
I went
Captain and Resythe the same place? I'm sure they are.
Totally the same.
Fuck you and your dirty whore mouth. Fucking Camden, it's the other side of the road. Scum.
great Chinese back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, it wow. was.
All, ordering booze.
Yeah, only because you could be 14 and order your Chinese with a crate of tenants, and yeah, they would bring it. Never it question.
We don't want to drop them in it. They provided an excellent service.
I think that's, if anything, that's an endorsement.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
Glowing endorsement.
If you're underage and you need a booze, just order yourself a Chinese.
I don't know how many 14-year-olds are listening to this podcast, but...
And if you are, you shouldn't. You're too young.
But tell your friends at school because it's cool. Yeah. Just like smoking.
And taking crack. Yeah. Wow. So,
if any of those 14-year-olds do want to get in touch with us, though...
Phil!
They would probably use Snapchat. But since we're not nonsense, we don't use Snapchat.
Benjamin, can you fix it for me?
Yeah. Well, now then. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, we've not even got started yet. Well,
screw the election stuff.
Oh, Christ, 20 minutes in.
Yeah, no, Jimmy, let's do the socials. Why about... A really terrible link. Oh, no.
So, talk to us, please, on Facebook at facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at Five Club, Twitter at Five Club, email fiveclubpod@gmail.com or Instagram, Five Club.
And thank you to everybody who has got in touch with us on Facebook. Like, it's surprising, like, the amount of people that do get in touch. So
that feel that they would want to as well. It's nice. It's nice to interact and all that.
I was actually going to say a shout out, but actually we should probably put it on Facebook because it's not actually the day of the election. But you should definitely, like, hopefully you'll have been encouraged by a Facebook post, but send in your photographs of polling station dogs. Polling station dogs.
That's the only thing that matters.
This is why I'm going to try and get this out tomorrow afternoon as quick as possible.
I'm going to try and find as many as I can.
That's hard to get the youth vote out, by the way, is just have puppies at every polling station and you get to play them after you vote.
Is that not a bit young for puppies?
What?
They're not going to be able to vote the ones that want to play with puppies.
Are you sure? I fucking love to play with puppies, mate.
Yeah, I know.
You're not the youth vote.
He's like Cruella
de Vil. Right, if you were 18, wait, 16? It's 18 because it's a general election. If you were 18, I'd be like, fuck, I'd vote anyway. But say I was on the fence, go, yeah, but you vote, then you get to play puppies for a bit. Holy shit!
So what you're saying is actually a pen full of puppies just outside that you can go and play with.
Yeah.
Once you've voted. But you have to vote. So you vote and you get a token.
So like through the back in a cordoned off area.
Oh, so I'm thinking you vote and you get a wee token.
Yeah.
To then go into put it in, you get to open the pen and go in and just roll around with puppies for half an hour.
Fuck yes.
God, I'd be in my 50s and I'd still be up there. But speaking of like incentives, I don't know if you guys heard this, but did you hear of BrewDog, your company?
Yeah.
Between Thursday and Friday, if you can prove that you went to a polling station and voted, you're getting a free beer.
What? For, my problem with that is,
but you have to go from here, you have to go to Edinburgh.
How do you prove it?
You've got to take a photo of yourself at the polling station.
Oh, right.
Okay. Pretty sure that's a polling station.
Like the front door, basically, if you're at the front door. So try and get your polling station dogs in that photo as well. Yeah, be a really good move. But
what I was saying is that's all very good, but our nearest BrewDog bar is Edinburgh.
Yeah.
It'll cost me £11 to get my free pint.
Who cares? Worth it.
That's a pretty expensive free pint, to be fair.
Yeah, I think I'd just go up town and get one for
there's a free
pint.
There's a way to work that, actually. If you've got mates who don't drink, but they're in the area, that £11 could get you to Edinburgh, but you could use them to get you more free beer.
Like everything with BrewDog, it's a naked capitalist. Just like for pink washing on LGBT issues. Because how many people are just going to have one beer then leave?
Yeah,
they're probably more likely to have three beers rather than zero.
Ah, but I'd fuck them. I'd have my free punk IPA and then I'd have another beer from another brewery.
Ah, there you go.
But it is naked up marketing, but you know what?
Yeah.
That's positive.
If it works, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. If in doubt, just do it for the beer. Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, just before we go any further into the politics thing, I do just want to say a little thing, because there was a wee bit of news came in just not that long ago, and it was sad news about the death of a cultural icon.
Oh, yeah.
you know, somebody from our childhood. Totally gotten. And I'm pretty sure he will be saying, mashed potatoes! In the great badger den in the sky.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Bodger.
Bodger.
Andy Cunningham.
What? I saw someone put up a Bodger and Badger song today on Facebook. With nothing else. And I just thought, huh, I love a Bodger and Badger song.
It was a long term illness, wasn't it?
I've not actually read any more than what I'd heard. But yeah, it came in just as we were leaving work that he'd passed away. 67.
Yeah, just this afternoon.
Fucking hell.
I heard it was just a long term illness. I didn't know too much about it, but I just know the kind of smaller details. That's a bloody shame.
It's really sad, I think. Cause,
it was a staple of like CITV when you were a kid.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I know certainly, you know, growing up, it was always on the TV, and with having a younger sister as well, she had videos of Bodger and Badger.
Well, I love Bodger and Badger
all the time.
Controversially, I hated it. I just never thought I never believed a badger would eat mashed potato.
Is this you and your tacky scone thing
again? No, I'm not just like courting controversy all the time. But no, I mean, obviously, very sad.
Yeah.
Much beloved. It wasn't necessarily for me, but you know.
Yeah, it was really at the forefront of like the puppet renaissance. Think about it. You had like Bodger and Badger. We talked about Ed the Duck in
Gordon
the Gopher.
I'm sorry, Gordon.
We had Spit the Dog, Sooty and Sweep. Rosie and Jim. I could really go on. There's loads of those. And that was kind of one of the big ones.
There was also the show on I think it was ITV that was all based in a hotel. And it was all...
There was Ragdolls as well and all that.
Yeah.
Rosie and Jim.
Rosie and Jim.
Have an off and a biscuit tin.
And Tiny Tots.
Yeah. Oh,
Sweeze and Tots.
Jim and Tots.
Teeny tiny.
We're a sac magique. I'll show you my sac magique.
Were British puppet shows killed by how fucking annoying Zig and Zag were?
I don't know, because they were kicking around about the peak as well, but maybe.
Yeah, but
they were kind of.
Oh, they were really annoying.
Yeah. And then they tried to break off from the Big Breakfast, didn't they, and did their own thing. It was like, too much, guys, too much.
Yeah, I would have happily strangled them to death.
they were like Mr. Blobby if he could speak.
Yeah.
Speaking of fucking painful.
Speaking of which, I just watched first episode of this show on Netflix called The Fuzz.
Yes!
From a few years ago.
It's ridiculous.
I've never seen it before, right? And it's not like absolutely amazingly funny, but it's funny, and it's basically about... It's about there's Puppet Town in Brooklyn, which is like a section of the town which is inhabited by puppets, like from Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But there's the main character is this puppet cop, who's like a cop, and he's going after drug dealers who are dealing in jelly beans.
Yeah, I've seen this. I've seen it as well. Yeah, it's good.
It was surprisingly really good. It was really funny.
Really well done.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like Avenue Q, I guess. That sort of adult. Oh, but it doesn't go as hardcore as Avenue Q, but it's that sort of thing. It's really good.
Something I've not seen yet, Avenue Q.
I've only ever seen bits of it. I try. I thought it would be back to my... Because Doogie was in it.
Yeah.
And he came to Scotland, but I heard that he might not even be performing, but then... Because I think he was, like, not an understudy, but, like, he rotated.
Yeah.
And it turned out he did perform, and I missed it. It felt terrible.
See, speaking of Bodger from Bodger and Badger as well, Doogie's probably the sort of guy that's had pipes with... with Bodger from Bodger and Badger.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, we'll hear about this next week or in the next couple of days when he'll say, oh, here's a picture of me with Bodger and Badger.
Yeah. Drinking pints of mashed potato.
Just a little bit on the top. Yeah.
I've just got this image now of Badger alone at a bar tonight with a mashed potato going, everybody knows Badger potato.
Another one for the road, Badger.
Yeah. No, Badger, that's too much.
Badgers don't go on the road.
Yeah. And then he just steps out into the headlights. Just lets it happen. He just lets it happen. It's his time. He wants to go.
Yeah, they want to be together.
Yeah.
Do you think Gordon's there with him?
Gordon's there. He's in. Do you know what? You should just fucking do it.
Yeah.
I wish I had the balls to do it, but no.
Ed the Duck just sitting around the corner ready to pounce.
Oh, God. Why do we get bleak when it comes to the puppets? What is our problem? I mean, actually, in fairness, I absolutely massively hate marionettes. I find marionettes super creepy, to the point where when I tried to move, we were looking at flats in London, and there was one which was okay, and it was opposite a marionette shop in Battersea. What? And Jesus Christ, I knew that at midnight that shutter would come up and all those marionettes would be coming out in the middle of the
Sounds
night.
Sounds like my utter fear of porcelain dolls as well.
Yeah,
my sister used to collect them.
Oh my God.
And I shared a room with her, and she had a shelf which was full of these fucking things, and every night I would have to go and turn them and face them away because I couldn't deal with them staring out into the room, because I knew that one morning or one night I would wake up with one of them over me with a knife. That kind of they're just fucking freaking me out.
You had those old wooden ventriloquist puppets as well.
Yeah,
it was just no.
See, my one of my good friends from London, who I don't think has bothered listening to the show, she certainly hasn't said that she does, but she has she has a massive collection of Bratz dolls in her room.
That's
properly creepy.
That's creepy.
Imagine
being an adult and having toys from your youth in your room on shelves. Imagine having Transformers and He-Man and stuff.
Yeah,
like B.E.
No.
I don't know.
I'm talking about myself.
I know you're talking about
yourself. Where do you draw the line with that? Because some things might not be so bad, but then there's things like Bratz dolls where I'm nah. Come on now.
She's
a Transformers, you could probably get collector's ones and things like that.
I think you'd probably get collector's Bratz as well. I think that's a thing. My Little Ponies are definitely... Are you a brony?
No, God. I had a girlfriend once who was properly into My Little Pony, and she wanted one for Christmas. And I was like, see that moment, you walk in a toy shop and looking for one, and you're like... Oh, this is fucking awkward.
No, we've got kids.
The whole time I'm with my friend, and I'm like, I'm getting this from my cousin, she knows fine well, we know the story. I'm getting this from my cousin, she's looking at me going, no, you're not. And then that one moment is like, oh, there you go, oh, it's for my cousin. It's like, no, it's for him. No, it's not for me. Oh, you're a brony? No. Why are you buying this then? It's like, it's not for me, it's for my cousin. But she said it's not. I was like,
I wouldn't believe you.
Yeah, I think that's just an excuse because you're a brony, pal.
Yeah,
I think
so. Cello playing brony.
And as we all know, bronies is a gateway to being alt-right. So.
Yeah, I was just going to say alt-right fascism.
Yeah.
Slander, I say. Slander.
Should we use the reference to the alt-light?
The alt-light, yeah.
Alt-light? Are we all alt-light?
Do you think the alt-right are alright? Is that what you're trying to say?
Thank you very much. Strong. Strong
and stable.
Yeah, big fans of that. Which also is a reference to My Little Ponies, potentially. Get in there.
Love it. So, yeah, I mean, apart from, that's been half an hour of, total waffle, that's fine. I said some of it's gold, to be perfectly honest. It's real. Very much, as our stock phrase, that's in our wheelhouse. So much. There's a general election tomorrow.
Fucking hell.
How are we feeling? Pumped, jazzed, bored?
Absolutely.
A kind of mixture of all of those, really. It was like this morning I was thinking, God, there's so much of this, and how many more days of this? And I was like, oh no, it's only tomorrow. And then I was saying to Jamie, I've got to remember and actually go out and vote tomorrow, because I can guarantee you I'll be sitting tomorrow oh shit, it's 12 o'clock, I'm going to work, I need to run to vote.
Yeah, there was a guarantee of puppies though, you wouldn't fucking forget.
It's almost somewhat terrifying, because in a way, whatever happens, whatever the result goes, it's going to be a bit more of a mess than we were before this election was announced, which is a bit tricky.
Well, it's hard because there's a lot of polls.
I don't know, there's a mess that I would prefer, and I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think that's my preferred outcome is a mess.
Yeah,
yeah, actually, do you know what? My preferred outcome is a mess as well, actually. Yeah,
just really, the right kind of mess.
The thing is, this is so difficult to call. Mm. And I know that it's very fashionable to say, oh, polls are always wrong, blah, 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 blah. But polls do sometimes give us a pretty decent indication of what's happening.
Yeah.
But we know lots of things about these polls. So for a start, polling companies are finding vastly different results. Servation have still got something like a 12% lead in the popular vote for the Tories. YouGov have come down to 3 or 4% or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
And to just today. So that's a huge difference in waiting. There is an assumption about turnout. Jamie and I were talking at length about recently about the fact that some polling companies have adjusted to try and factor in the natural error that comes. Like, there's a natural bias in some polls towards Labour. Mm-hmm. They always overestimate it. Some companies have tried to get rid of that as well. We don't know what that means in the margin of error. Frankly, it's a mess.
I find the whole sort of thing with the polls this time around, how they are adjusting and trying to be careful. They're obviously trying to bring back some kind of faith, because faith has been lost in them in the last couple things, because, you know, there's just been so vastly different to what they've been coming out with. So
apparently all the polls have been within the margin of error for Trump. Brexit and the last election as well. Even most Servation actually called the last election precisely right.
Servation have tended to be amongst the most accurate. YouGov, which are the closest for, like, I've been saying there's a closer Labour.
I thought Servation was quite close, weren't it?
And Servation was, like, I've not looked at it in about 2 or 3 days. So certainly they've always tended to be closer than YouGov, or more accurate than YouGov. And YouGov are the ones that are at the moment of attempting to give me hope.
The thing is, though, like, what you're talking about wings, like Comrades, I think they're only looking, like, they're only saying that 30 something percent, maybe 40 at the most, of young voters are going to turn out.
Yeah.
Which I think is unlikely given that 2 million more people.
Was it not 4 million young voters?
Yeah. And registered. I think a good chunk of them were young voters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, if you bother to register to vote, I think you're highly likely to vote in that election. YouGov, I think, have it at something like 80%, which is what it was for Brexit.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is too high.
Unrealistic. Yeah, I think that's very...
And it's meant to be raining tomorrow. Well, a few days ago, before Cass says it's going to be raining, which there's a certain myth. It's never been borne out by the data, essentially, but there's a myth in UK politics that it's bad for Labour if it rains.
Because Tories always go out to vote. I don't think it's necessarily a myth. I do think there's probably truth in it.
I think there's truth in it. I think it's overplayed, though.
I think it's both overplayed, and I don't think anyone's... I've not seen a good enough analysis. It's a similar study of, like, people that say that the bookies always get things right as well. Uh-huh. And that's just crazy. Yeah. The bookies do occasionally get things very accurate, but often they look at the bookies, like, right before people go to the polls.
Yeah.
So it's as close as possible. Yeah. And by that time, the people that are going to the bookies to place bets have had to look at all the polling and seen that narrowing and things as well. So
bookies as well, I mean, they get things right, I think, in sports as well, roughly about 70% of the time. And I think that's roughly what we get in politics as well. But the thing is that you see it a lot in sports. People are like, oh, but this guy's a huge underdog or whatever. And it's like, no, he's not a huge underdog. They're just, it's a market line, and they set it, and they're trying to get you to bet on it. And then that will adjust the line, but they can change. What odds aren't a reflection of how likely things are to happen.
It's who's just betting on it.
Also they set them up with the intention of balancing them losing money and trying to get more people to bet on it as well.
It's a balancing risk. Their risk reward balancing. I think that's always pretty interesting.
Brings me back to the thought of Alex Salmond when we did the Brexit vote, like the whole time, wherever he was on, it was like BBC, LBC, Sky News. He'd just sit on his phone the whole time the results were coming out, and he would give out the live odds on the results from like Sky Bet.
I remember him doing that, actually.
It was quite entertaining, just the way he was doing it. It's like, well, I'm getting 5-1 on Remain here. I just put £50 on that.
He strikes me as the sort of man that would love a flutter. Did he not used to be in oil markets?
He's an oil economist,
So that is a huge flutter then. He's a gambling man.
But I don't know, like, I know people know that this is going to be an election special and things like that, but I'm not entirely sure I'm, like, feeling confident about making predictions or anything.
Okay, I'll go for a prediction. Tories have a majority of somewhere between 25 and 50 seats.
Think so?
That's what I think. That's what my head says. My heart says a Tory minority government, and maybe there could be a Progressive Alliance pulled off if that's the case. But
it was a minority, do you think that's made done for?
Do you think she would try?
Tories are much quicker about getting the knives out on their leaders as well. So I think it would be.
It's a big gamble. Because that's a huge gamble. And if she...
And she made that gamble based on the fact that she thought she was going to gain seats for
this. Because even if it is a seat or two, then...
I think she's gone either way. I think the campaign has been such a shambles.
It's been awful.
And yeah, I think that there has already been a lot of profiling, and I don't want to turn into like, oh, Mark's little asides of how he knows politicians.
Or how he knows name drop
or inside track. Like that time me and David Blunkett went whoring
David didn't know what he was doing.
But you know what I mean, like, which obviously that didn't happen. To my knowledge, David Blunkett never been to the pub. But you know what I mean. But and I haven't spoken to any friends who are there, but I mean, I would, judging by the absolutely shambolic campaign that's been run there, I and also the fact that she doesn't look great. She doesn't look well.
And for Doctor Who fans, there was a good meme going around, which is, don't you think she looks tired?
Yeah.
Which is how the Doctor overthrows a Prime Minister.
Yeah.
He just says that to one person, it spreads.
Yeah. The other thought, Wednesday, the morning papers, like the Express, the Daily Record, they had a massive just throw all offensive on Labour today.
On Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah, it was insane. They're throwing everything at this.
It's like seven pages, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Express had 13. Yeah. And it was all about the terrorist support. It was like, oh no, think about this now.
I mean, the way they've gone after Jeremy Corbyn for that is ridiculous.
It's not even hidden. It's not even slight. It's blatant. It's full on. Like even through the Jeremy Paxman debate.
Yeah.
Like he was talking about was it negotiations with Syria and things like that, or the IRA, and he was like, They're your friends. Like, well, no. And we're trying to have a peaceful discussion and a negotiation to sort this problem out without any harm to innocent people. They're your friends.
Why weren't you bombing them?
I know. And then it was the question time one where piling on him about nuclear weapons. Why wouldn't you use the weapons? And it took one person to say, why are we so obsessed with nuclear bombs? Why do you want him to press the button?
I think what's interesting about it is I watched that and I thought, I agree with Jeremy Corbyn's position, but I bet a lot of swing voters don't.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree. I agree entirely. I think a lot of people don't really... it's funny, like, whenever you have like the aftermath of some kind of terrorist atrocity and everything like that, like the amount of people that come out to be absolute security experts and things like that. It's just that we want to do something, but we don't know what to do about it. Mm-hmm. We don't know how defense policy works or security policy works. We want to throw something at something. And we know about army. We know about tanks and bombs.
Yeah.
So let's go and attack something.
Although in an interesting way, Labour switched that round to their side. And one of the biggest things in the last week has been Theresa May was in power when because something that happened when you saw on the night of the Manchester attacks and then again London, not so much on Manchester attacks, was the Muslim community aren't doing enough. But then it turned out that Muslim community had informed on them and nothing had been done.
Yeah.
And it's holy, or we so far we it appears nothing has been done because MI5 have encountered it. So they turned it around to say, Theresa May was Home Secretary at this time. Yeah. It's her record.
Yeah.
Plus, under the Conservatives, police numbers have plummeted. Community officers have plummeted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things. And they've turned security, strangely, which is usually a Conservative issue.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, actually, I'm pretty sure Labour governments spend more on defence and security than Tories do, even though they say they will.
Mm-hmm.
Sure is how it actually turns out. But yeah, they've turned it to their advantage quite well. Even if it's not a great analysis of the situation, it works politically.
It was really well spun. I think the fact that the lines about Hamas and saying, I mean, the Hamas are my friends thing is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think it just shows the paucity of actually strong attacks against Labour. That like the Conservatives are now weak on the economy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're now weak on security.
Yeah.
Labour are flanking on both sides. They're now weak on pensions and things to do with social care as well. Yeah. They're weak on the NHS and healthcare. That for me is the reason why this campaign is going to be one of a disaster and why I think Theresa May will be toppled very quickly, is because even traditional strengths, as you say, have now turned into weaknesses for them.
It has been. They've fumbled and the entire every single. They've had about six relaunches.
Yeah.
In this, like, soft ones, but they've had about six things, press conferences I've watched where it's been U-turns on social care. Yeah. It's been about defence. It's been about, I can't remember, some stuff earlier in the campaign.
There was housing.
Housing as well. Yeah. And yeah,
do you know what the best part is? Even
school funded.
So what you were saying is, you know, she gets a majority, she gets in, she's out. You reckon at some point in the near future, I would say
she's toppled.
She's gonna be ousted. The problem with that then is that just leaves everybody with a really sour taste, because what was the campaign? Strong and stable.
What's happened?
Leadership. Yeah.
Fell apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you think would take her place?
Well,
people have been saying David Davis. I just can't see that happening. He looks like he's... I was listening to a podcast about this the other day, and they said, yeah, he looks like he's dying just now. Like, never mind if he was Prime Minister. Yeah. He looks physically unwell. He does, you know.
Well, some people were saying because she stood in for the debates last week, Amber Rudd could have a case for challenging for leadership.
Yeah, she stood in those debates even though her dad died on the Monday.
Yeah, I know, that's...
That's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
Took one for the team. She really kind of...
She had a terrible performance, but then I read that straight after it, and I was like, well, because she seemed a bit tetchy and was being overly aggressive. But if your dad had just died that week, anybody would be like,
and it didn't help the situation that the Conservatives left everyone with easy ammunition going in already, and then all these questions were piling up, and it was easy to just throw it at her. So it's not an easy, I'm not a Tory supporter, but you've got a feel for her in that respect. It's not an easy task, but it's a very tense situation, a debate in general. Mm. Public debate with all these very heated questions, and then they're aiming their aggression on Theresa May on you.
Yeah.
And you've got to try and defend that. It's really tough.
The only problem with Amber Rudd is she's the Home Secretary just now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When all this stuff has happened.
I agree entirely. Yeah. I think what happens after this for Amber Rudd is, I think Amber Rudd takes one for the team on the debate, and she's been out publicly, and
people know her face.
I think people know her face, but I think that she's been harmed a little bit publicly by some of the things that have happened. But also, I actually think it's done her a good standing in the party. Yeah. So I don't think that she's next for the top job.
No.
But I think she might stand.
Yeah,
and I think she might gain supporters. I think she and people around her will be trying to build support for her, not for the next leader, but probably for the leader after that.
To me, you get the fuck out of the Home Office, because that is Theresa May's the only person who survived it. Everybody else's career gets fucked by the Home Office.
Yeah. Do you think Bojo would go for it?
I don't think so. I think he had that moment.
He had his chance, and he ran away from it.
The £350 million thing for the NHS will just keep coming back up.
And also, people don't like people who stab each other in the back as well. Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a good sense that him and Gove were stabbing each other in the back and things. I think his flip flopping on Europe as well hasn't really helped him.
Gove's so popular in the party, it could well be Gove, which I think would be bad, but
I don't know how.
Who do we think it could be?
It's a good point. I think it's somebody who's going to have kept their head down during the election.
Yeah.
So I don't think we. I think there's a real interesting point here. I think there will be people in the Conservative Party who think that they've got a chance.
Sajid David or someone like that.
I think somebody like that. I think somebody like Phil Hammond might even think he's got a shot.
He's so boring.
People
like that.
Yeah, people do kind of like that, unless it's a Labour person.
Yeah.
And they don't like it.
Yeah.
But I think that whoever's been keeping their head down and their powder dry, there's people that are always thought about as potential leadership, like Dominic Raab and people like that as well, who will kind of resurface in the next period of time as well. I don't know, because the Tories personalised this campaign so much that it gives them wiggle room for the knives on Theresa May as well, because they personalised the campaign because they thought getting Corbyn out would be easy. They thought a massive batter Corbyn, massive landslide, and that'll be fine. But if it didn't go that well, then they've also personalised the campaign. They can get rid of May. So I'm not entirely sure. There are good Tories out there that could assume the leadership.
I suppose the challenge for that is to try and find someone who would be appealing to the masses, especially during the Brexit negotiations. Because if they do,
but that's what you're going to need, because you need somebody that is actually just going to be able to.
So hard to find someone who isn't tainted vote.
That's what I think.
Yeah. I think it's a Cameron type figure who's coming through.
Yeah.
Somebody who I always thought was really good, not maybe got a huge public profile, but the Oxford and Abingdon MP called Nicola Blackwood.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She could do well. Yeah.
She's not very well known.
No.
outside, but she's pretty charismatic. She's quite interesting. She's quite
quite a lefty Tory as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she could be the kind of antidote to May.
So I'm sure she asked a question on PMQs about child poverty to Theresa May one time.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. So I'm quite impressed, actually.
So, yeah, I think all in all, I think I kind of agree with your prediction, Jamie. I think I'm looking at something roughly about the same as we've got now. I think I'm thinking Labour will do really well in the popular vote. Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think that their campaign hasn't been targeted in marginals.
No, and it will stack up in safe seats.
Yeah, London Labour turnout will be massive, and it will skew the popular vote in their favour.
Yeah.
But there's a good chance, I think, that that Corbyn could get 35% of the vote. And Tony Blair, on his third election, got 35.4, I think.
Yeah, it's possible that he could actually beat the popular vote of Labour, of Blair's victory, and not get the seat.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because it puts into context like the actual core vote strategy and things like that. Which, if you want to read a really interesting essay on it, I wrote one today, so I'll happily share that on the Fife Club.
Yeah, cool. I'll read it.
Thing,
but it's also like the there's no strong third party. Like the Lib Dems, I think they got 18-19% in that election.
Oh, I think there'll be less than 10.
Oh, they'll be less. They'll be less than 10, and UKIP are like on.
Well, UKIP on a recent poll were like 4% or something.
Holy shit.
Yeah, you can probably get MP. Here's an interesting aside. What do you think is going to happen up here?
I think the SNP are going to obviously win, but I think there's going to be less Tory seats won than people seem to think. I think you're looking at 8 to 9 maximum. Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah. I think people are thinking, they might win 15 seats. I just don't see that happening.
Do you think there'll be any more Labour seats?
2 to 3.
I think Ian Murray will win Edinburgh South. I think he's got that strongly. I think I'm no great fan of his, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the kind of Corbyn effect might work a bit up here. I think because...
Well, they're now level with Tories. I think Tories are 1% higher, maybe 2. Whereas the base was so low at the beginning.
I think that's something that nobody's looking at.
Yeah.
I think everyone has just assumed that Labour is so dead in the water. Yeah. But I actually think the Corbyn effect might actually come into play. But you're right. The vote, the seat grab for them up here is... A couple. I think, and we'd need to ask our Shetland experts on this.
But I was going to say, do you think Shetland will fall to the SNP?
I think it will. I've asked two
with people, the MP with Carmichael, isn't it?
Tainted by the accusations against Nicola Sturgeon. And
it'd just be interesting because obviously, they're going to potentially lose seats, but then they're going to gain. You know, gain a they seat might they gain, didn't have. You
that's what I think. I think they'll lose about 8 and gain 1 or something like that. It'll be like lose 9, gain 1, something like that. So I think they'll still be, they'll be more than comfortably in the lead.
Yeah.
I worry about Angus Robertson's seat in Moray.
He could well lose that.
Yeah.
I really hope not as well.
Because I really like
him. Really good showing this campaign.
And in that debate, I think he did really well. And has been a little pot stirrer as well, just kind of like...
He's always very good at PMQs as well.
Yeah.
He always has a question and he has a follow-up question that's directly related and hammers home the point. And it's,
I did like how at the debate everybody attacked the fact that May wasn't there. And it was, I think it was only Amber Rudd that tried to attack the SNP for Nicola not being there. Mm. But I think everybody else was just like, she doesn't need to be here.
Angus Robertson's the leader at Westminster. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. Mm. Tim Farron had the line of the night. Theresa May doesn't care about you, so why should you give her your time? In fact, Bake Off song.
Tim Farron's set pieces were excellent.
Yeah. It's they found a use for Tim Farron. Yeah. One-liners.
But this is the thing, without a strong Lib Dem vote getting key seats, and without a strong UKIP vote stealing votes from the Tories, they went Labour, now they've gone to Tory, so it'll be stealing from the Tories now. I just can't see a Labour government at all.
I can't either. I mean, I'm obviously hoping and praying that we do, or we find some kind of the coalition of chaos. I'd bloody love it. That would be perfect.
Coalition I want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Caroline Lucas as Environment Secretary.
Neon sign in Westminster with that.
And genuinely, it could be a rock star cabinet.
Oh, yeah.
You could imagine it.
You can see the deals. You could see the SNP saying, we want a referendum, and Labour saying, okay, but you have to put a 25-year limit on it, you know, something like that.
Put a flag in place.
Tell you who I would want going to negotiate, and again, I say this as a Labour supporter, who I would want to go to negotiate on Brexit. Is Alex Salmond?
Yeah,
I would want. Yeah, I'd really want. I'd want him to be part of that because he. It was his own personal charisma was one of the reasons we got an independence referendum in this country. If we hadn't had Salmond, it would never have happened. He has got that kind of backroom, like pugnacious kind of style.
Mm-hmm.
That
bombastic.
Yeah, yes. I think, and like sometimes he makes a complete arse of himself.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
But I do think that in this kind of situation, he'd be good. Him and Keir Starmer would be a pretty good dream team.
Barry Gardner's on the Labour team, apparently.
Yeah, Barry Gardner.
Barry Gardner would be great.
I think he could also get a lot of the public on side as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think actually Gardner and Salmond charismatically could get the public on side, and Keir Starmer could do the actual the nuts and bolts because he's a phenomenal legal mind and probably the next Labour leader.
Was there not a chat that he should be doing it in the first place, or she'd been involved in the first place anyway? So tell you how they
do. Do you think that Ben's going to go for Labour leadership? Because this is the thing, I don't think Corbyn's going to leave. If he gets 34, if he gets anything above 33%, he's not going anywhere.
No.
And I think he'll probably get about 34, 35, so...
I don't think he'll go regardless. In a way, I think he's had a really good showing over the past
I think the argument in the Labour Party will be is, obviously, policies are really popular, so we'll keep it a little bit more left, but we want a different messenger.
Yeah, of course. I think, and that's exactly what's happening. And that's, again, if you read my excellent essay on it, that's what a lot of the kind of progress affiliated people are doing.
Yeah.
They're kind of setting what the framework for success looks like,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to paint it as anything other than an outright Labour government is a failure. But actually, that's just not the case. That is just defies the logic of the politics that we've seen in the last period of time. If we didn't have the supposed chicken coup, if we had a bit more unity, if we'd been able to see a bit more of Jeremy Corbyn, you know, it would be, and his team, because by God, the star of this general election so far has been Barry Gardner.
Yeah.
Barry Gardner is awesome.
Touring the studios, going to bat every day.
Wheres Diane Abbott, I have to say, is a good campaigner, but she's let the team down on this.
Yeah.
And I think the same is probably true occasionally of Emily Thornberry.
She did a press conference every day.
Yeah.
And she was like, almost whipping up a crowd to boo journalists.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I was like, oh, this looks so unprofessional. Yeah. You know, it was very strange.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't like that. I disagree with a lot of the commentary at the moment, but I don't want to see people booing journalists.
No.
It's just ain't good.
Yeah.
No.
They do need to raise their game. Like, there is something being lost in political journalism, the craft of it, like, to getting to the point and understanding a real story.
Started with Mara and Nick Robinson, that did. Ah. It was all about the personalities and almost nothing about policy in their reporting.
Yeah.
There's a great video on YouTube, actually, listeners, if you look up, of Andrew Marr, the night that the Iraq war was decided, and he's practically glowing and giddy and talking about what a great thing it is. It's horrific to watch.
Yeah, it's bad.
So one of the things we thought we might do in this one is a very quick kind of random couple of fights.
Yeah.
We
really need to do a fight club, and we really need to go into the Nomicon.
Kutch, announce it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fantasy Fight Club. Come on in and take a seat in front of our specially constructed imaginary nonagon for another great fight card this evening. Quick rundown of the rules. Each of us picks... Actually, no, this is completely different.
It is.
I'm reading off an old script. Quick rundown of the rules. We will be picking names out of a...
There are no rules.
This is prison rules.
This is like UFC 1. That's fucking mental.
You're going to have that guy's versus jiu-jitsu.
Taylor Wally's going to lose a tooth.
Someone said when they were making it, they were like, this is about as close, because Mortal Kombat was brand new at that point. Uh-huh. They were like, this is about as close to Mortal Kombat as we can get in real life. It's like, legally, yes.
I don't know. I shared that thing on Facebook with you guys, that scene from Anchorman.
It was good.
Something like that.
Yeah,
actually, because that thing that you shared, I've not put I've not put all the party leaders or obvious choices into this. There are some old politicians, there are some new ones.
Wow. So it's a bit of a fresh twist. We've got the names in a hat, we're going to pull them out,
and go for it and see who we think would win out of this fight. So yeah, bring a bit of a random element to it.
In Fife, we use old carry-out boxes as hats, obviously. Old carry-out Tupperware.
That is true.
See, you just spoiled the illusion. People would be thinking of a Stenson, you know, just massive.
Or like a sorting hat. And
or like the balls we need to use for like football.
Theresa May. Slytherin!
But yeah, what we'll do is we'll discuss the faults and merits of each fighter and how we think the fight would go. We'll then all decide on a winner.
Yeah, I really wanted to make a bad joke there, but I'm not going to.
Oh, go on, no, go on. No, I haven't. Are you going to wrestle back the belt from me?
No.
Cutch has been his best.
I was actually trying to think, is there a wrestling analogy, James, to this? I was trying to think, it's not really a Survivor Series, it's not a Royal Rumble.
Well, I was going to say Royal Rumble, but I suppose it's one-on-one,
is it? Is it more like a Battle Royale?
Battle Royale, yeah. Hell in a Cell or something. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. The Armageddon, Hell in a Cell.
Let's get ready to ramble.
Yeah, okay. Let's get ready to ramble. Watch us wreck the mic,
Cephology.
Yeah, that'll do.
Right, because I've written the names and I've got the hat, we'll let Cutch choose the first one.
Let's do this.
We'll let James take the second one.
We'll twist the mic a little bit.
So, fighting out the blue corner, it's Ed Miliband.
Ed. Well, he's going to use an Ed stone.
I said the blue corner, should have been red Ed.
This is going to be a fun fight then, because fighting out the red corner is Jeremy Corbyn.
It's the leaders, the Labour leaders
battle. Leader Bolton New.
This is great.
So who ate a bacon sandwich better?
Well, Corbyn would eat a bacon sandwich.
Well, that's true,
he'd eat a marrow sandwich.
A marrow sandwich.
Because he's boring.
I do love, I was talking to customers earlier, I love that picture of Corbyn with his own grown marrow, his massive marrow with a suggestive look on his face.
So I actually think that this is probably one of the toughest fights out there.
Yeah.
Because you have got Red Ed, whose quality is very much sassy Twitter banter these days.
Oh my god, he's the king of Twitter these days.
Like, honestly, he's possibly up there at James Blunt's
levels. Definitely.
And definitely. Gordon Ramsay as well. The three of them are kind of kings of Twitter.
I've never
seen Gordon Ramsay.
So what people are doing with Gordon Ramsay, I'm not sure if it is him or if it's one of his staff.
Oh, no,
people send in their pictures of stuff they've cooked, and usually horrendous, and he comments on them and is just savage. Yeah. Absolutely savage. But it's good, yeah. So check out Gordon Ramsay.
So Red Ed's obviously pretty sassy on the old Twitter, but Jeremy Corbyn is a known pacifist, or is he? So I think we get the opportunity to call in. It's the opportunity to bring in Schrodinger's Corbyn.
Oh, because
on the one hand, we all know that he's the vegetarian peacenik.
Sure.
He grows his own vegetables. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he's the friend of terrorists. What, like hanging around there with his beret looking to cause untold crimes.
And we just don't know which Corbyn we'll get.
No, exactly. We absolutely don't know which Corbyn we'll get.
Josie Long did a great sketch about Miliband, which was, oh, Miliband, he's like, oh, Miliband, I'm so weak and feeble. But then you think you'll get into power and just be like a badass. And he's like, oh, what's that? Your private school? I burnt it down. Just Miliband, Miliburn, Milismash, Miliband.
So the question is Ed Miliband tough enough?
Tough enough.
Tough enough.
Oh, hell yeah. One of the most cringe-worthy ever episodes for a Labour leader, that one.
Oh, is he tough enough?
So I think
we... Schrodinger's Corbyn.
Yeah.
and Corbyn's El Gato.
Yeah. El Gato will be sitting on the side, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to have to call these ones quite quickly because we've got a lot of them. But... I mean, for me, it depends which Corbyn turns up.
Yeah.
If it's Savage Corbyn wins it. If it's Peacenik Corbyn, Corbyn's lost.
Yeah. Corbyn will have a better game plan.
Yeah.
Because he's running the manifesto that Ed Miliband wishing could have run. Maybe Granny might have actually won Ed Miliband, but so I'm gonna go for Ed Miliband. I think that he's got a sort of strength to him which
Yeah, I think sort of sassy Miliband would kind of be like sassy Julian Clary.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
I think he'd
probably be picked on for being a bit awkward. Yeah.
He'd be taunting his opponent as well, putting his hands behind his back, that sort of thing. Yeah. Slapping them.
Miliband. I'm going to call it for Miliband.
I'm going to go with Corbin. I think he's got the experience edge. Plus, he's got a few more tricks under his sleeve. Plus, he's dealt with the IRA as well.
He'll just let a pipe bomb under the canvas if he loses. Yeah,
exactly.
On the other hand, Ed Miliband could do a first strike with Trident.
It's like super moves.
No, I mean, I'm actually going to go with James on this one. I'm backing the experienced, the canny fighter that is Jeremy Corbyn. He's campaigned for a long time. So our first fight's a tie.
Yeah, a tie. Oh, fair enough. Well, ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
If only the election would be a tie.
Yeah. Right, okay. Jamie?
Oh.
Do you want
to? No, just pick it up.
I like the name. It's give it to Penman.
No, that's fine. Okay. I'm the draw master. It's fine. I've got my job.
Okay, so I've got Gideon Osborne.
What? Well, definitely in the blue corner. It's Paul Nuttall.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
Wait in there.
So
it does, for the first part is, does George Osborne have time to take part in this fight? Because admittedly, he's standing down as MP for Tatton, but he does have so many other jobs. Yeah. Do we know if he's not also a professional MMA fighter?
We don't know.
The time, though.
He does absolutely everything else.
Yeah, you've got so let's look at Nuttall, right? Nuttall, you couldn't believe, you know, the tale of the tape.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't believe anything it said because he lied about being at Hillsborough. He lied about something else as well. Like
everything. And we know what kind of man he is.
Yeah. He also sparred out Muhammad Ali, according to Paul Nuttall as well. They went for a few rounds, but Nuttall had it.
Was he involved in that fight in the European Parliament?
Oh, I don't know.
Was he?
Probably.
Was he?
Was it?
Oh, I know what you're on about. Was the other guy?
Because that was before
the EU leader. It wasn't.
It was the UKIP leader at the time, before him. Who was that?
Farage. It wasn't him.
No, it wasn't
Farage. It wasn't him.
I've completely forgotten who was involved in the UKIP festival.
But it wasn't Nuttall.
I don't think it was Nuttall.
I think Nuttall's the sort of guy who'd talk a big game.
And then get sparkled.
Yeah, get absolutely sparked out. Whereas Gideon would employ someone to train him and take, just be juiced to the fucking gills.
Osborne's the sort of man that lets his friends do the fighting for him.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. He has flunkies to get paid for that.
And he will also be coked out his face.
Oh, that's a great point. I didn't think about that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I'm gonna call this one. I'm gonna go for Gideon.
Yeah.
Yeah, as much as he's a cunt, he's less of a cunt than Nuttall. But that's a...
That's not saying much, is it?
It's tough, a low egg-shaped head to crack.
Well, again, with the whole, you know, sort of punch a fascist, as much as Osborne's a cunt, I don't think he's a outright fascist. So, yeah, I'd go for him, yeah. Punch Nuttall.
Osborne has occasionally shown some strangely redeemable features at various points in his political history. They're not many. That's all I could say. But Nuttall is also Scouse, which gives them an actual advantage. They do.
Quarter Scouse, mate.
Are you? I didn't know that.
You're red or blue?
Really? There's so much
red. You red or blue?
I don't understand.
Ah, it doesn't matter then.
I'm actually going for Nuttall.
Yeah,
he's got that sort of. He's got that EDL vibe. About
he's going to put the nut in.
Yeah,
I just always think that fascists should
get punched.
Yeah, get punched and be knocked the fuck out.
We've always been strong on that in this.
We have.
I'm going to go with Gideon, just to see Nuttall get his totties.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
In the nicest way possible.
Right, so we've got our first outright victory of the night. Okay, so here we go. The random draw comes back again.
Oh. I'm liking some of these games. So in the blue corner, or should I say yellow corner, Angus Robertson.
Oh, nice. Mm.
Well, we've had Jezza. Now we've got Keza.
Oh, it's a barn-burning Scottish scrap to the death, isn't it?
Oh my god.
I think Keza is probably quite hard.
I don't know, because she was telling people to vote Tory, so SNP didn't get it. She's willing to turn her back on her own team.
But that means she's got maybe a Jake the Snake type vibe about her. Yeah. Like there's something devious in her pocket, like that she's going to bring out.
Well, she's literally been handed a poison chalice, an actual poison chalice. But she's been lapping it up every day, just downing it, one her every day, and somehow survived.
Yeah, that does take some kind of gall, doesn't it? Some sort of iron stomach.
And she must have beaten Jim Murphy in a fight, because that's how he comes Scottish Liberal leader, isn't it?
In the end, there can only be one. It's Highlander rules.
The two of them climb to the top of a bunch of iron brew crates, wrestle each other up in sumo style.
Oh, Angus Robertson, he
stands up to the face of a demon on a weekly basis.
And gets the better of the demon.
Indeed. Yeah,
it does.
He's like Tenacious D.
And we've already said some positive things about Angus Robertson's political ability.
I really don't like Keza. I think she's...
I just feel sorry for Keza because she's just been handed a shit role that she can't possibly win.
Yeah.
And it's really bad.
I also think she just... It's that thing where there's the difference between me voting for... like in an election like this between, or even like in the most elections, I mean, generally I would vote Green if I can, but like if I thought I was ever going to vote Labour, it's not under her. It's just not under her.
Well, that's the thing with a lot of people, that's the thing, the Corbyn effect. Yeah,
well, this is that thing with the whole thing, because again, at the moment, I would say there's a lot of things in the Labour manifesto that I align with.
Yeah.
And I really do quite like Corbyn. There's the two things. One, Scottish Labour, Keza, just don't trust her.
Yeah.
Again, excellent essay written about this kind of stuff.
and the independence.
Yeah. And for me, Trite on top of that, Trident
as well,
and cuts as well to benefits which aren't being reversed under a Corbyn government.
Yeah.
So for me, that's a similar thing for me.
It's like what I was saying is that if they'd come out and said they were pro-Indy or even pro-federal, I would have maybe have considered a Labour vote this time round, but it's not happening. So, I mean, that is pretty much the difference.
Yeah.
I just worry Casey has been, like, badly advised is kind of my issue on it. Mm. I think there's probably a much better politician. I think in a stronger Labour Party in Scotland, I think there's a better politician in Casey Dugdale than she's showing at the moment, which I think is a shame. Oh, like, SNP bad is not a strategy. Like, what else do they stand for apart from SNP bad?
Especially because the Tories have taken that completely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They've taken the unionist card. Yeah. Absolutely. So, just briefly, a quick one on Angus Robertson, though. I don't know how tall he is, but he looks quite physically intimidating, Angus Robertson.
Do you think so?
Aye.
He's got a rugby player built.
He does, actually. Like, I don't want to call him hefty or anything like that. Like, certainly in no position to talk.
That would explain that dodgy eye. He's taken a few tackles in his day. you can go for a scrap. You can take it.
Yeah, definitely.
I actually think Gordon Brown against Angus Robertson would be an excellent old scrap right there.
Get it booked.
Fight the Odins.
Yeah. Where is Angus Robertson from originally?
That's a good point. I don't know. He represents Murray, but
he sounds sort of northeastern to me. Yeah, so
I would have guessed somewhere up that kind of direction,
Aberdeen or more. Yeah,
because there's quite a few of the towns up there with the old fishing villages and stuff. They are a bit.
You've got to be handy. Yeah, you've got to be handy in there.
Macduff and places like Banff. And, that kind of.
Well, I'm going to call it.
Uh huh.
And I'm actually going to go for Kez. Because, like I said, she drinks that poison chalice every day.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if push came to shove, she'd just rake his eyeballs out. I think she's got that in her.
Yeah. She has had to fight for political life.
Yeah.
If it was on who I like, it would definitely be Angus. But I think you're right. Angus doesn't have to put up. I think he has to stare in the face of a demon every day. Yeah. But I think, yeah, if you're actually drinking out that poison chalice, I think you've got some balls on you. Mm. So, yeah. Keza.
I'm going to go with Angus Robertson. I think some of these... With Keza, she's a bit inconsistent and changes her mind quite a lot on different things. Like, the biggest one was the Jeremy Corbyn issue. When,
yeah.
They were voting to who's going to take over as leader, and they voted back in. But the whole time, she was like, nope, we don't need him because Labour won't sit well with Corbyn. And then as soon as he's voted back in, so we're going to support him. He's the best man for the job. Oh, change your mind in the whole vote Tory thing.
Mm.
So there's a bit of inconsistency in our decision making. So with an Angus Robertson who is built like a rugby player and focused on the task at hand and has a good game plan, I think you could take her down quite nicely.
I actually really approve of that logic. I very much agree with it 100%. I think Kezia's flip-flopping around. She might have a few tricks up her sleeve, but Robertson's focused.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to Robertson.
Like, so you talk about that poison chalice, but it's good to have a weapon, but you need to know how to use it.
See, I think that it's more
her weapon is her inner turmoil.
Is the fact that she survives. If she can survive that, she can survive anything.
Yeah.
But what's she talking about? Because she wants to go down.
Right.
I can't do it anymore.
One more, or
maybe one or two more.
Okay,
might be able to get away with.
Sounds good.
Okay, who's drawing? You're drawing.
I'll draw. So, in the red corner, it's Twitter's favourite politician. It's Ed Balls.
Oh. I thought you were going to say Gerry Adams.
He's excellent on Twitter.
He is excellent on Twitter.
And in the other corner, Patrick Harvey.
Oh. Well, Balls definitely has the weight advantage.
But Paddy is a... Or sorry, Pax, as it is. He's a sassy, bit of a sassy mouth on him.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah,
he's good at getting angry.
Yeah,
like showing that anger, righteous anger.
Yeah, and also being like totally wisecracking with it as well. I think it can be a bit.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's also. Although,
has he ever searched for his own name, but instead tweeted his own name?
Not as far as I know. But he does cycle a lot.
Yeah.
So he already has a cardio advantage, but he has more of a cardio advantage.
Yeah. So he'd maybe last the full fight.
But Ed Balls is light on his feet, though.
Well, that's what we know.
Well, is he?
Hold me close and tiny dance.
Are you suggesting... Is that Patrick Harvey's a tiny dancer?
He's not a big man.
No, he's quite slight.
I mean, it's going to take a lot of testicular fortitude to get through this fight.
But very much. It's going to be a tough one.
So, speaking about Twitter and Patrick Harvey, I said once to a Green Party member, he always strikes me with his waistcoat as like a Doctor Who in waiting. And he tweeted back to me with a picture of him halfway in a TARDIS saying, "A boy can dream." It was really good.
Well done.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Ed Balls, big guy, yeah. Very clever as well. Probably got a lot of strategies to employ in the ring, but probably can't decide on which one's the right one to do. Like, he knows what's right, but political expediency might make him make a different choice.
I think give a manager some kind, someone in the corner just to keep him straight, and I think he'd be all right.
Yeah. I think Ed Balls would be more of a trainer than a fighter.
Yeah, I think so.
He used to write for the FT.
How far do you think Patrick would get on Dancing with the Stars?
I bet Patrick can dance. I bet he's nimble.
Yeah.
I see him as a tap dancer.
You make it halfway.
Yeah.
Well, November. That's a not bad spot to be in.
I think he's crafty. I think he's crafty as well. Yeah. But I mean, I think if we're going to call it. I think I'm going to go for the sheer brute force of Ed Balls and also the celebration of Ed Balls Day because it's wonderful. It's just outright wonderful, isn't it?
I'm going to go with Patrick because, like you say, crafty, nimble, slight. I think Ed would go running in and Patrick would just slide through his legs up onto his back and then like just flip him over in some kind of like... momentum style,
Well, but then Ed would probably flip Patrick back over and straight into a wall.
I don't know.
See, I have a similar thing, but I'd say Patrick would cut angles on him too well. Yeah. And keep jabbing him.
Did you say Kurt Angle?
No.
Angle. Angle. Angle.
No. No. Kurt Angle can't move his neck.
God.
I think Patrick cut angles on him, and then out of nowhere, he'd come up with his finishing move, which is the wind turbine punch. And he'd just wind up in a circle, and he'd follow through with an uppercut, and that'd be it. Done.
I think I'm going to have to give it to Patrick just for that. Yeah. Just for the finishing move.
Yeah, quite like that.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could change my mind now, but I'm not. I'm
stuck with balls. I think right. You just do rings around them until the balls just collapses.
Right, one last one.
Yeah. Actually, let's do with the other ones. Let's do a one word answer.
Okay,
just get it done.
Okay.
Okay.
Amber Rudd.
I've got Heseltine.
Oh, Michael Heseltine. Excellent.
Heseltine, sorry.
Whoa.
Heseltine. I would be surprised if Heseltine's done a little boxing in his time.
Yeah, I think as well.
Although, maybe even some catch wrestling. Amber Rudd, right age,
if that's the case, Amber Rudd's a Homer Simpson in a situation where she'll just take shots.
I was just going to say, she can take a punch quite quickly and still be standing at the end of it. So
she has got an iron jaw.
Yeah,
like, just the point when she nudges him out. That's all you need to do.
Heseltine just looks like a fighter. Like, you know, someone who maybe boxed in the RAF or something like that, you know?
Yeah. He's older, but he's lithe, he looks kind of fit. And but the only thing about Heseltine is he'd never want a hair out of place.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, that's very true.
There's an immaculateness about
it. Well, I do think Amber Rudd would get, like, just catfighty and rip hair out and
Heseltine, though, has a backbone. Like, he's the only one who stood up to Thatcher, and
that's true.
Whereas other people like John Major just didn't answer the phone when she just before she left as leader.
So backbone versus Iron Jaw.
So I can see it's almost like the Rocky film, like Amber Rudd just taking all the punishment. Like, she's getting killed out there. No, she's getting angry. Sums up the debate pretty much. It's just like,
that's literally my top five most annoying TV and movie tropes. every time someone needs advance for a fight, it's like, oh, you've got to let him wear himself out. It's like that.
Nah, they're killing
you'll just get knocked out.
Yeah. Right, should we call it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heseltine.
I'm good, Rudd.
Oh. All right.
Oh, well.
Right. Okay, because we're running out of time, everyone, we're going to do this very quickly.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Ruth Davidson.
Oh. Bojo.
Oh, we need to talk about this one.
Oh, my God.
We need to talk about this one. We can't
and because that is actually a genuine fight. Yeah. Those two do not like each other at all.
She's like a tenacious badger. Oh my God.
And he's like
R.I.P. R.I.P. Bodger.
Yeah, to the heart, man.
An annoying Labrador.
Very much a Scotland versus England deal as well.
Ruth Davidson,
Ruth Davidson's bringing a tank. Yeah.
Yeah. She is. Although I did see Boris Johnson rugby tackle a kid to a grave. So he's got that vision. He doesn't give a fuck if you're a kid. He will tackle you. So I'm actually going to go Bojo.
I'm going to go with Bojo. He's got those SES things where he got stuck on the wire.
Yeah.
He's got experience in that. I think he knows what he's doing.
I think he's got no shame, but he's a flat track bully. Kids. Yeah, I'm going for Davidson as well. Right, okay.
Cool.
Ooh. Leanne Wood. Versus Paddy Ashdown.
Oh,
great.
These are good faces.
Leanne would pull his pants down.
Yes.
I even got Leanne Wood in there. Leanne Wood. I was beautiful. I'm so proud.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yeah, that was almost. This is actually teed up quite perfectly.
Yeah.
Because Paddy Ashdown is probably one of the hardest MPs there is ever.
Yeah.
As well. Ex like SBS, man.
Yeah.
SBS for.
He takes no shit as well.
A lot of people don't know about the SBS as well. Yeah. It's basically the hardest nails version of the SBS for the Navy. They're fucking nuts. Yeah.
When your SAS isn't hard enough,
you've got SBS, yeah.
Yeah. But also, he's both a lover and a fighter, as we know. Do you think he could be too distracted by the Welsh sultry Welsh charms?
Oh, well, that's what I was going to say. That's the worst Welsh accent
Why
I've ever heard.
Irish?
No,
I'm really bad Irish.
I don't know.
Paddy. You need to show your loving. Don't fight.
I can't do it.
I can only do it in occasional situations.
Leeks and dragons. Yeah. But then it starts becoming a bit a poo from yeah.
There is something about Welsh and Indian accents that are so similar.
There's a great sketch about that in the radio version of Little Britain.
Is it?
Far better, which is a guy, he's leaving his voicemail and he's going, oh, please leave a message after a tone. He goes, oh no, it's too angry. Please leave a message after the tone. He's like, oh no, it's too happy. He goes, thank you for your call. Please leave a message after the tone. He goes, oh, too Welsh.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Okay, wow. I'm calling it for, I think Paddy gets distracted and Leanne wins.
Yeah, I think Leanne would too.
Oh, it's hands down for Ashdown for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ashdown.
Yeah.
Another right. Draw. He's someone who can see the red mess pretty well. So.
And Andy sorted out Bosnia.
Yeah.
One last one. There you go.
The main event of the evening. So I wonder which one of these will be. Oh my god. It's Hammond versus John McDonnell.
Oh, holy shit!
Chancellor versus Shadow Chancellor.
How? Wow. This is your main
spreadsheet film, as he's known, he'd have a game plan planned out, whereas McDonald would be more about his, I've got the basics down really fucking well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm going to nationalise your plan. that'd be McDonald. He's about the basics of the macroeconomy, where spreadsheet Phil's all about the detail.
Yeah. Spreadsheet Phil's a big man with big reach and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think he would move slowly but very in a very considered manner. Whereas John McDonnell is your classic Labour brawler of like of the old school. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So you'd have John. You'd have John would need to win it by knockout, but Phil would have to let it go to the five rounds and win by points.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, definitely.
But he would be 20 billion points short.
No.
That's an HS2 pricing gag.
Also, Philip Hammond might be doing something. Then he just changes his mind and turns his back.
Yeah.
Leaves him open for a joke.
McDonald, you know, his numbers just don't add up.
Whoa, I'm not sure about that.
No. He's bothered to think through and cost all of his a win cost ratio for all of his moves.
Yeah. His tail of the tape has accurate statistics. Phil's has nothing.
Yeah.
His size is
it's just a spreadsheet. Yeah. For Phil's. Yeah.
It's just a graph of our GDP to debt ratio go trebling over time. No, sorry.
Well, obviously in Phil's corner there is a massive mountain deficit. And in John's corner there's a magic money tree.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there is.
I didn't even think about that. So, if he's got the magic money tree, he can bring in the best people in the world to train him as well.
Yeah.
He's going to go to fucking Montreal for 6 months, train with Faraz Zahabi, get fucking great.
John Money McDonald.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh my god.
Everything will be sponsored by him.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah. I think he's in it. He's got it.
Yeah. I'm calling it.
Money man.
Yeah. John Money McDonald.
Yeah.
Money Mac.
Money. Yeah. I'm on it. First only unanimous fight of the night. Yeah. It's money.
Yeah. We're still more consistent than the Brazilian commission. It's a joke for you combat sports fans.
Well, we are running very long tonight, but it's been good. I think we will call this a close. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. Jamie, would you like to run through the socials one last time?
Yes, so speak to us, please. We're needy on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclubpod. Twitter at FiveClub, email fiveclubpod@gmail.com or Instagram FiveClub.
Excellent.
You guys might be lucky enough to get some additional content from us.
Yes,
this week possibly, but we're not going to promise anything.
We're not going to promise anything, but tomorrow night me, Mark, and Jamie anyway, and I think Mags might pop along.
Yeah,
possibly.
Don't know who's got coming.
But well, there might be a party, and your dad doesn't know it yet.
Oh, George.
But we'll bring some zesty lemon cheesecake. He'll be fine.
Oh, it's how to placate him?
Yeah. But yeah, so we're getting together to watch some of the election coverage. I'll bring the mic along and we'll maybe try and do
just little 5-minute segments here and there, maybe some little fights and stuff, and I'll try and get that out on Saturday, maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah, there might be a what would be 18A, episode 18A.
Oh, our first sub-episode.
First sub-episode, yeah.
Vignettes.
Can we call it Sub-Zero?
Sub-Zero. Yes, definitely. So, that does bring me to the time of the night where traditionally I would have to ask our young Michael, who is no longer with us, a question.
Not like Bodger, just to be clear.
No. So
that was poor taste, I'm sorry.
Because you're filling his seat now, the guest is going to have to do this bit every week. So all you guests coming on, going to have to prepare for this. What is our motto this week?
So Thursday morning, you walk into the poll booth, you put Fife Club.
Yes.
Put it in the box.
Yes, that'll do.
If you're going to ask me, I was just going to sing a Bodger Badger theme tune.
I think that was more respectful.
It was really sad that Baker's had to go to jail for killing Bodger.
Holy shit!
Oh my god!
Oh, we're trying not to talk about it.
Oh god, sorry. Just before we go, lovely touch today at Ronnie Corbett's funeral.
Oh yes.
Who I thought you were going to talk about. No. They came out with 4 candles when the priest was walking down the thing.
I don't get that, but that's fine.
4 candles, 4 candles. Have you not seen that sketch?
It's like two Ronnies.
Yeah. Oh, anyway.
And you have to explain the joke.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.